Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Face Up, the radio show where we listen to your voice and talk about the corruption we all face every day in our courts. America's courts have been co-opted by organized crime organizations operating under the color of law to defraud their victims of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We the people must confront the perpetrators of these crimes to have any hope of creating transparency and accountability in our courts and repairing our legal system. We stand with you to create this accountability. It's time to face us. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Face Us Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Hidden Truth Revealed, and this is the Inside Scoop. Today is October 26, 2022. My name is Luann Fleming. I am one of your co-hosts, and I have my other two co-hosts on tonight. I do have Hillary Hogue. Hold on, let me bring you in queue. Say hello to everyone.
Hi, everyone. Good evening, and this is a good day because we are all here together to converse concerning probate courts and how they have taken advantage of the vulnerable for decades, and how we are planning and we are going to put an end to it. So thanks to our listeners, because without you, we wouldn't have this show.
Exactly. That's good. And I also thank our listeners as well. We are going to bring in on Marcy, too. She called in to the show. And also Robin Austin, he has the night off. So I want everybody to know that. Marcy, say hello to everybody.
Hi, America, and I think America,
good morning,
is waking up. Hi, all of you, and thanks for Janet to be as guest. And I do agree with all of you. Gosh, since back when I started doing this advocacy and battling the legal abuse done to my mother and I, We may not see it, those that are just beginning to find out that every day when I go to Facebook, there's somebody saying, please help me. But we are making progress. I have to remain optimistic that every time we turn around in Florida, Hillary has done a phenomenal job really getting the word out to the press. And the fact that Channel 12 just had Christine Montanti speak about, boy, and she nails it, and bringing all the other victims of this horrific crimes against humanity happening in the United States of America. You'd think that we are living in a communist country, or you think we're reliving the Holocaust, but it really appears to be no different than a modern Holocaust, because taking away the homes of the vulnerable and putting them away and isolating them without any type of due process, and depriving them for our rights, our inalienable rights, there's something major wrong with this picture, and it's got to end. We're getting the media. The media is out there, and more people are becoming aware of this abuse. And now I go into different stores, and so somebody's always saying, oh, my goodness, this happened to my mother. And we have to really work all together like we are, and I really see a big difference of everyone uniting, having the vision, what is it that we need to do to finally end these atrocities and the crimes against humanity? It's horrible.
Exactly. I absolutely agree with you. And that, one thing we're going to be talking about tonight, and like I said, Marcy, we and Hillary, we have a really exciting guest on tonight. I've talked to her numerous times. She's been on our radio show before, and so we're going to be bringing Janet Phelan on. And I want everybody to know that we're welcoming her back. She is an American investigative journalist of high integrity, and I mean high integrity. Janet is also an author of a tell-all book, Exile. She was forced into exile herself as well. And she has written articles for the Los Angeles Times, San Bernardino County Sentinel, Orange Coast Magazine, and elsewhere. Dana Phelan is teaching a webinar coming soon, charging a low fee of $30, and it's 10 steps how to research or judge. And tonight we're going to be talking about effective strategies. And so we also want to let everybody know that it's important that more people are doing this kind of research and that the public discussion includes evidence that judges are bought and paid for. Learn more on how to get involved to expose and stop judicial abuse. But you know what? We're not talking about all judges. There's just some judges out there. And we're going to bring Janet on to talk about this more. Did you girls have anything else you want to talk about, or should we go ahead and just bring Janet on?
I'm okay bringing her on.
Bring her on.
I'll just we'll bring her on, and then we can talk at the end of the show. She's too important to miss.
Absolutely, I agree. Okay, let's welcome Janet. Janet Phelan is everyone.
Hi, Janet. Hi, Janet. Thanks for being on.
Yes. Hi, Luann, Hillary, Marcy. It's very nice to be back on your show, and I really appreciate very much Luann's invitation. And when she invited me on, she said, "Well, what do you want to talk about?" And yeah, I want to talk about being effective and effective strategies to start to impact what we're all experiencing in these court proceedings, because there's a lot of ineffective strategies out there. And unfortunately, the ineffective strategies seem to be getting the lion's share of the media attention. And so we're going to be talking tonight a little bit about thinking outside of the box. Because as long as we stay inside this box, we're being hamstrung. We're simply not being effective. And most of us know mm-hmm. what happens when we get hit by these proceedings. I mean, the first thing is like, we can't believe it. We can't believe what's happening to us. And then we think, well, okay, well, I've got to go to the police about this, or I've got to go to the DA or to the AG or to the FBI or to the media. And we find that the doors are repeatedly slammed in our faces. And it's a shocking experience, not only to go through this, but then to realize the amount of collusion that takes place to keep us in this bad spot. So I do want to say something. I was supposed to appear last week, and my computer crashed completely. I couldn't even get a message. My phone goes through my computer too. And so I was able to beseech a neighbor to send Luann a Facebook message, which apparently she never got. So I'm very, very sorry I wasn't here last week. I understand that the show went on anyway, and I'm so glad to know that it did.
Janet, it's something, because being in this corrupt world of probate, and we see the retaliation, and you know it better than I do, we were concerned for your safety. So we were so happy when we found out, bad as it was, your computer, but more importantly, that you were safe.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. I'm going to jump right in with both feet. Marcy had mentioned this News 12 interview that was done, I guess, recently with Christine. I don't remember. I don't have her last name. Talking about reforming the law. And I rolled my eyes. You know, this is one of the things that we do when we realize how bad things really are in these court cases, is that we figure we just pass some legal reforms and everything will be fine. Legal reforms have been passed starting in California, I think in 2005, followed in Florida, in Nevada, and it doesn't seem to be working. And one of the reasons it doesn't seem to be working is that the legal reforms don't address the problem of a compromised judiciary. It seems pretty clear to me that these sorts of abuses would not be taking place if the judges were honorable and were following the law, and we know as a fact they're not. So simply creating more laws that involve the judiciary having to make more decisions simply provides further layers of the same nonsense. So I actually contacted News 12 in Long Island after I watched the interview. I want to say my heart goes out to Christine. It's terrible what she's been through. We've all been through it. And I'm hoping that that possibly some of the things we'll be discussing on the show will help sort of illuminate what the problem really is and how to go about addressing it effectively. And I spoke with News 12. I followed it up with an email. We spoke again today. I don't know if they're going to be covering the issue of the corrupt judiciary or not, but they're certainly being offered experts and a lot of information about this. So the way that I look at things, the way I think is proving more effective in dealing with these cases is to not to ask the judges to do the right thing, not to ask the DA or the prosecutors or the AG to do the right thing because they're not doing the right thing. What I think is working and could work even better should more people get involved in doing this is to take a step back and look at the judge in toto. Look at his finances. Does he appear to be financially compromised? And lucky for us, there are public documents that are available that actually support the perception that certain judges are compromised and are being compromised in particular ways. Now, what I'm finding is that the judges really don't like this research, and they tend to react in some rather stereotypical ways. One of the ways is they get off the case. Another way is they start making better decisions. They don't like the scrutiny, and it appears to be more effective to simply expose them than to try to plead for their goodwill, because they don't have goodwill. They're political operatives. They are accommodating certain agendas, and these agendas may be, in many cases, completely contrary to written law. But what can you do about it? Can you sue them? No, you can't sue them. One thing you can do is expose them. So some of you know that I've been doing this work now for a while. Recently, I started expanding some of my target populations to include federal judges, because I'm finding that federal judges are kind of involved in the same nonsense that the state court judges are. So recently, I looked at a federal judge in tax court named Michael B. Thornton, who was really kind of savagely attacking the litigant. The litigant was a tax protester. And he was a rather well-informed tax protester. He had done his research, and he really didn't believe that he owed this money in taxes, and his pleadings were reflecting this. And Michael B. Thornton didn't like the pleadings and started to threaten the litigant with sanctions of $50,000 if he didn't shut up and stop pleading that the law was on his side. Well, after I got involved in the case and started looking at Michael B. Thornton's his own finances, something very peculiar happened. The trial had concluded, so we were waiting for Thornton to make his decision. It's been 2 years now, and he's just run for cover. So the tax protester isn't paying the taxes. He isn't being sanctioned. He's being left alone. And actually, wouldn't it be lovely if these judges left us alone? So this particular case is covered in my book that was published last year by Trine Day at the Breaking Point of History. So you can read about it there. There's also an article online called Justice in the Time of Corona, and you can read about Michael B. Thornton there as well. So the strategy isn't resulting in a revolution yet. Obviously, if many judges are being paid off to throw cases, we don't have an intact justice system. And in order for America to get back on track, we need an intact justice system. So I'm trying to teach other people how to do this research. It's not so complicated. And with the hope that other people will start looking at their judges, sharing the information, and we can create sort of a ripple effect here.
There you go.
And I know, Janet, that you talk about like 10 steps on how to research a judge, right? So
right.
I thought it was fascinating that one of the steps that you have in there was to check the name of your judge's spouse. I have never thought to do that. I mean,
well,
we always check
important.
Judges, you know, and that makes a lot of sense to me. It really does.
Well, recently, some of you have been following my work know that I've been doing some research on this Judge Shauna Bolliker in Cook County, Illinois. And if you put her name into the grantor-grantee index, which is where you go to find the mortgage records, and it is the mortgage, personal mortgages, that appear to be the vehicle for bribery. If you put her into the search engine, you'll find almost nothing. Nothing. Maybe one deed, one reconveyance. You look at her husband, and her husband doesn't have his same last name. His name is Dave M. Andrews. You look at him, then the loans come up. So it's very important to look at the spouse as well. In fact, I'm hearing from some parties in the know that judges are becoming concerned about the nakedness of these records and the possibility of their being exposed, and they're trying to figure out ways to put their property into other names so they won't face the repercussions of this sort of research.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point in time, I think it's important to realize that what you're finding may not be all there is. But at least now, not too many judges have gone so far as to remove their names from their properties. So it is still possible. I was recently looking at a judge, Stevens, who's in Texas, and I found that the records were so poorly archived. This was Como County, Texas. They were not recorded. You had no idea if he owned his property or not. The records were an absolute mess. And because of this, I wasn't really able to complete the research on Stevens, who has been, by the way, brutalizing a woman named Shelley Thompson in a guardianship proceeding. But for the most part, I think you know about Shelley Thompson, don't you, Luann?
Yeah, I do know about Shelley Thompson. In fact, we've had her on our radio show before. We've had the attorney come on with us as well. I mean, it to me, that's one of the scariest cases because she's literally scared to death staying in this home down in Texas. In fact, she's in a nursing home, locked facility. And we've been trying to get her out for years. And do you know any more about her? If she's still in there, too.
Yes, she's still in there. And her attorney was actually deprived of his right to represent her by the
yeah.
Judge Stevens. Judge Stevens ordered that Philip Roth have no contact with Shelley Thompson and cease and desist representing her. I never heard of anything like that before, but I've seen the documents. That's what he did. So he's left Shelley very vulnerable.
I'm surprised the judge would even allow that for any attorney to come in and want to represent somebody, just totally deny them like that. I mean, there's something that they're definitely covering up down there, period, I think. It has to
yes.
be, you know.
Well, Shelley's a very bright woman, and what's happening to her is really of grave concern.
Mm-hmm. So if you could sum it
yeah.
all up one sentence, what would you say that this is?
This being guardianship?
Yeah, in guardianship
or
any of that. I mean, I've been trying to sum up everything that's gone on with our radio show and all the stories like in one or two sentences, and it's so hard to put it all in perspective into like one sentence, you know. It's it's so big. It's such a big scale on to even talk about how big the system is and how corrupt it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's hard for anyone to try to deny it because of the media coverage that it's now getting, that they're not afraid to call it what it is. They're
mm-hmm.
actually calling it corruption and bad deeds, and they're calling it out. So
yeah.
Where people are sharing it, and a lot of the organizations are even sharing it with their own people, and then their people are sharing it. So this is snowballing. It's taken a while, but I really think that it's very difficult for the United States of America in the Justice Department in Washington, D.C., to deny that these crimes are real.
Yeah, it's kind of like follow the
and
money, you know?
Well, what are they going to do? Because they really, they need to come up with like a FEMA to do a restitution.
Yeah.
And like you said, not all judges are bad. I have friends that are judges that are like, oh, my God. And you've had some judges in the radio show saying the same thing, but the Justice Department is going to have to come up with something. Because hurting humanity, and we have a
constitution. You're kind of starting to mumble a little bit, Marcy.
What?
You're starting to mumble a little bit. Can you talk a little clearer?
Yes. Can you hear? Let me take it off
yes.
speaker.
Yeah, that's better.
Is this better?
Yes.
Is this better? Okay.
Yes.
What I'm saying is that the Justice Department in Washington, there are people going up there. I know Dr. Crenshaw had an appointment to meet with them, and they really said that they were not denying. She had gotten a letter that they did not deny that there was a problem. So we're going to have to say, you know, how come there's a group of unethical judges in power hurting the public? Because that's what they're doing. It's no different than a hurricane, coming in and destroying part of Florida. That's what they're doing. They're destroying people's homes, people's lives, and hardworking money, and their rights to be able to live with their daughters and next of kin and their sons. And that's being violated in order for them to say that they're protecting them. In order, what's protection? Moving them away from their home, selling their home, and isolating them? What? And I think that little game is beginning to be exposed now, and the Britney movement really got it out there. And now Libra Max with her dad and Christine Montanti, she worked for NBC News in New York. She has a lot of connections. She is the news. So I think that they can't turn the other cheek. They're going to have to do something to get restitution for everyone.
Well,
I'd like to
voice a word of caution here, because most of the media that this issue is getting is spinning the story so that it looks like there's just some bad apple guardians. And the problem, again, is not the guardians. The problem is the judges. And when you have efforts like Christine's, which, you know, attempt to change the law, but does not factor in the corruption of the judiciary, then you are actually enabling the same thing to go on. It's equally with the New Yorker coverage, the Wall Street Journal coverage. The coverage we've gotten does not hit the nail on the head. So,
it would even take common sense to realize that, because you go in front of a judge and you would hope that he would see clearly what's going on. When that happened to my mother, I go, what's wrong with this picture? There's something wrong here. I call them all, you're all in cahoots. So the normal intelligence, I don't think it would take a person in the fifth grade not to figure it out. Anybody can figure it out, even with a low IQ. So maybe the news is afraid to pinpoint, but Hillary did a wonderful job in the task force to try to get that point across.
But Marcy, if I could interject briefly, thank you. You know, I spoke to a retired attorney from Ohio. She's in her 80s, and she's asking about guardianship in Florida. And she said, "What weren't the laws changed?" Her name's Elizabeth. I said, "Elizabeth, honestly, it doesn't matter if we had 20 new laws. If the judges don't follow them, then those new laws, I mean, they're basically obsolete. They don't exist. So, you know, it would be great if we could get in front of a judge and say, you know, I have to have visitation, my dad or mother, this, that, and the other. But realistically speaking, these judges are attorneys, and they are working with fellow bar members that they have worked with. So, you know, it's basically the same old story, whether you go in 2 days or in 2 months. If the judges do not follow the law, and it's very easy, you know, to listen to someone who's the AIP, the alleged incapacitated person, and get the real deal from them, then that would be great. But honestly, it's not the guardians. The guardians are puppets. It is the judge, and it is the lawyers. Period, the end. So yeah. I'm going to ask Janet. I'd like to ask Janet a question, if I could.
Okay, go ahead.
Quickly.
Sure.
So
sure.
Let's just use, for instance, there's a judge, Joe Schmo in Pinellas County. I look up his his info, lots of mortgages, lots of satisfactions quickly, looks really suspicious. How would you get that information to the judge and say, hey, just saw this, looks like it's not on the level. Can you advise me on how you paid off your mortgages so quickly? Would you just email them, physically mail them what you think, or how would you bring this evidence to the judge?
I'm really glad you're asking this. Yeah, what I generally do, is I send an email, if possible, to the presiding judge, and I start asking questions. I'm careful not to make accusations. I'm not saying, okay, but I'm asking questions like, okay, this judge is taking out $800,000 in loans, paying them back in 2 years, taking out more. How is he paying all this back, number one? And by the way, could I please see the canceled checks showing that he did indeed pay back these loans himself? So that's basically how I approach this. And it's having an impact. It hasn't turned into the tsunami yet that I want it to, but it is definitely having an impact. And recently, some of you, I think, know about what's happening to Stuart Handy and to Roger Hilligan, which is absolutely nightmare.
Yeah.
Is facing over 20 years in prison for essentially for helping an old lady across the street. Okay. That's essentially what he did. So he was languishing in jail, and his bail was far in excess of what he could pay. And I did the research on Judge Barry Breslow, and boy, I had some questions. I fired off the questions. An article appeared the very next day. Stuart Handy's bail was cut down and he was let free. Now, that does not resolve Stuart Handy's problem because he still has to go to trial. So at this point in time, I'm going to be looking also at the presiding judge, whose loan history is far more questionable and more worse. It's much worse than Barry Breslow's. And I'm planning on not only doing another article focusing on the presiding judge, I'm planning on submitting a criminal complaint . In fact, we have some indications that the attorney generals may also themselves be dipping at the mortgage trough. But the fact is that when a case is as high profile as the Handy Hilligus case is, and when there are so many questions being raised about the integrity of the players, It appears to be a more effective strategy to work from this angle than to simply go, well, you know, I'll file another writ because Barry Breslow is breaking the law, and then I'll file another one, and you know, you just keep going back to the same situation, which is appealing to the judge. The judge isn't going to help you, so at that point, you have to start targeting the judge. And when I say that, I mean by looking at his finances and exposing him.
Wow. That case that's on with Stuart Handy, it is very disturbing to me as well, because basically all what they were doing was trying to help Roger Hilligus's mother in an abusive situation. No one even asked them anything about the nursing home. Nobody asked anything about the safety of their mother, except for these guys went in there and they stole her. You know, I'm so appalled over that whole thing anyway, you know, because all of us that's been in a guardianship nightmare all understand what happened, everybody, you know. So there's, and we're just still trying to figure out what we can do, and I'm glad that you are actually helping out and looking into it. I think that's wonderful for you to do that. I really do.
And well, I have a question. I have a question for Janet. When you do this research and you're about to, and you file a complaint, can that complaint be also filed to the Justice Department in Washington, D.C.?
Well, allegedly it can be. I'm aware of numerous efforts on the part of several different people to contact their local U.S. attorneys, which is, of course, part of the U.S. Department of Justice, trying to turn over these records. And the U.S. attorneys don't want these records. And there has been a refusal, actually, to accept these documents. So, you know, theoretically, if we don't have an
they
intact
might be involved
system of justice,
in this?
We don't have an intact system of justice. We have a charade.
Exactly.
Wow.
So I don't generally file criminal complaints. I consider it, generally speaking, a waste of time. What appears not to be a waste of time is exposing the hell out of these people.
Yeah.
For example, there was an article that appeared in Activist Post a few years ago. I was not involved in this research effort, but a veterans group in the state of Washington tried to turn over records about some of these probate court judges to the U.S. attorney, who was at that time Annette Hayes. Annette Hayes did what U.S. attorneys tend to do and refused to accept the records. So the veterans group decided to research Annette Hayes, and they found that she was doing the same thing, and they chased her out of her office. She quit.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the second judge that I had, he quit. He said, the first judge didn't do right, and I'm not going to do it either. And he recused himself.
Yeah,
so
you have to embarrass the hell out of the judge. You have to research them. So, Janet.
Yeah, you do have to research them because it's our right. It's human rights are totally protected by the law of the land, the Constitution of the United States, for these people to take power and cause these crimes against the most vulnerable of our society. That's just dead wrong. So if they can turn around and accuse you and to try to hurt your parent and your loved one, we have every right to research them and to say, why are you doing this? And embarrass them.
Yeah.
All their family members and all their neighbors will definitely know if they don't get done anything. I mean, you know, it's not defamation of character. It's clear and convincing facts.
Right, exactly.
Recently, I was looking at another judge in one of the Dean Salas cases in Cook County. This was a Regina Mescal. And I found out, lo and behold, that she had a questionable loan history. So at this point in time, I actually fired off an email to her husband, who was also an attorney with Cook County. And apparently it upset Regina Mescal to the extent that she called a special hearing to simply discuss this horrible person, Janet Phelan, who was nosing around in her public financial documents. And she went so far as to suggest that I was committing crimes. Now, that was a stupid thing to do because, you know, what I'm doing is what a reporter should do, which is to watchdog those in government. So whatever her strategy was, I guess she was trying to scare me or something. It didn't work because what happened was I wrote another article in which I exposed you know, what not only her loan history, but also how she was attempting to frame my behavior as criminal. And I said, gee, you know, I put in the article, gee, what am I doing? What crimes? Accessing Zoom hearings in court, asking questions, what is the crime? So we need not to be in any way intimidated by these people in black robes. We need to understand that what we're doing is actually an honest and decent thing to do.
I had to tell my doggies to be quiet. So Janet, I mean, these people are just trying to push you out of it too. You know, they're trying to intimidate you as well. Can you talk about like the 10 steps that you do to research your judges? Because I've been getting people asking me, how does she really do it? And I know that you're going to be having a webinar on this as well pretty soon, right?
Yes, I'm planning one for next week, by the way. And if people are interested in taking the webinar, please do contact me either through Facebook or through my email, because you'll have to register. And so we had one a few weeks ago. It was a big success, and I'm investing more time and energy in holding more webinars because I think it's absolutely critical that people learn how to do this research and start doing it because it's empowering. It is effective and it is empowering, and it is certainly producing far more desirable effects than simply, crawling into court and looking up at the judge and saying, please, judge, you know, don't hurt me anymore. So, 10 steps. Well, you'd mentioned one earlier, which is looking at the judge's spouse, making sure that when you do the research, you also do it on the judge's spouse. And the basic research, there's basically a couple of level of documents that are necessary, but the basic research involves going to the grantor-grantee index with the recorder's office and looking at the mortgages and how quickly they are paid back. Now, this is not a science. This is, in a sense, there is some discernment that is necessary here. So, for example, I was looking at a judge, Tammy Riggs, in Cook County yesterday. She has, I think, a deed and a loan. And that's nothing. You know, that you can't make anything out of that. But when a judge, for example, is taking out loans far in excess of what they're able to pay back on a judge's salary, turning around, taking out more loans, when there begins to be repetitive activity like this, you can make a judgment call and you can probably determine that you've got a judge who's using home loans as a method to funnel bribes and payoffs. And I want to make something clear because some people didn't really understand this. Let's say this is the scenario we're dealing with. Judge X takes out a loan, but Judge X doesn't pay back his loan. It's paid back by Mr. Y or maybe Mr. Y and Mr. Z, but the judge himself is not paying back the loan, and that's where the money laundering and bribe takes place. So this is the vehicle that we're looking at. And so far, given the research I've done on both state court judges and federal judges, I'd say roughly two-thirds of the judges I've looked at have mortgage histories that are redolent of money laundering. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, and I know that, you know, you also talk about checking any businesses' interests with the Secretary of State as well.
That's right.
I think that's interesting.
So,
yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So some judges maintain LLCs, limited liability companies, through which they are actually are set up to to own property. So if a judge has an LLC, let's call it Dearborn Avenue LLC, it's mm-hmm. not in the judge's name, but if you can find out about his LLCs, then you also need to run the LLC through the grantor grantee index as well to see if the LLC is being used to create spurious income for the judge. You know, loans.
Wow,
again, loans.
Right.
You also need to check, for example, you have a judge, let's say he was appointed to the bench in 2012. Okay, so you have to look, you have to start looking at 2012 as the date when you want to start the research process. However, you need to look at his history as well because, for example, let's say before he ascended to the bench, maybe he worked as a prosecutor in the government. So that government employment has to be determined how far back that goes because that's really when you're going to want to start doing the research, when he entered government employ.
Wow. There's a lot to go through. And you actually teach all this on your webinar. And I know that, you know, your webinar is like $30. That's a really low charge for this. It really is. So
yes,
I would recommend this to
I'm
anybody
really
that
to
needs
keep it
to
low.
Do that.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And I also, if you're absolutely destitute, please contact me because there are some free passes as well. I think it's more important that people learn this process, really. And if you're sincere and serious and you don't have the $30, don't sweat it. Just contact me.
I've told
That's
a few
nice.
People that to contact you. How would they get in touch with you? And let's go ahead and put that out so I can say that at the end as well of the show.
Right. So I'm going to give an email address. It is my name. It is Janet, J-A-N-E-T underscore C for cat, my middle initial, underscore Phelan, that's P-H-E-L-A-N, at yahoo.com. So you'll need to contact me via email or look for me on Facebook. One way or another, you'll need to register before the webinar. And I am planning it for a week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow?
Yes.
So that'll be like November 2nd?
Oh, gosh. You know, that's a good question. I can't actually check on this computer. I'm going to rely on your good sense here. Probably November 2nd.
A week from tonight would be November 2nd. Okay.
That's a week tomorrow, though. A week from tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay, November 3rd then.
Okay, November 3rd. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay, good.
And I also want to say something.
That is Thursday, November 3rd. It's a Thursday.
Yeah, November 3rd. Yeah. November 3rd on Thursday,
I'd like to say something.
Okay, go ahead.
Some of this information is in my book that was published in 2021 by Trine Day, which is actually on the pandemic. But there is some information on the judges and this research in the book. And this is fairly cutting edge information. There's also some information in the book having to do with separate delivery systems, having to do with the pandemic. Well, I just got a notice from my publisher at Trine Day. His name is Chris Milligan. I got a notice from him today, right before the show, that he is cutting off access to the book. He cannot do that legally. We have a contract. He's going to violate the contract and going to dump the book and pulp the remaining copies, end quote. So it was a shocking sort of communication. And I do have some lawyers who are contacting him already about this. But I do want to, right now, the book has been pulled off of Trine Day. So if there are people who are still interested in getting it, you might want to go to Amazon and get one as quickly as possible, because I don't know how much longer it's going to be available.
So tell me what the name of the book again?
Yeah, At the Breaking Point of History. At
the Breaking
Point of History. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And you can find it on Amazon for at least for now.
Wow.
What happened was there were some glitches in the accounting. I was supposed to get an accounting every 6 months. There were some glitches in the accounting. I asked very politely for a more complete accounting, and immediately the publisher struck back at me and said he was cutting off access to the book illegally. So these are the times we're living in. These are the times we're living in, and I'm very proud of the book. I think that there's information. I know that there is information in the book that you can't get elsewhere. So for those who are thinking about buying it, you might want to go ahead and do it while it's still available.
Janet, can you give me the name of the book again?
At the Breaking Point of History.
At the Breaking
Point. Yeah, I think I found it. Yes, I found it. At the Breaking Point of History. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's, and you've written another book, too, called Exile, right?
Yep, that came out in 2014. And that was an entirely different endeavor. That was more of a personal narrative about what happened that forced me to leave the U.S. So it's a personal story. At the Breaking Point of History is actually not a personal story. It's what's happening to all of us.
Right. I agree with a lot of that stuff going on, because we're having all this stuff happening in the probate courts and all the family courts, and then this pandemic, and then there's so much food issues we have going on. It's horrifying. It's horrifying to even live in this world nowadays. I mean, I'm like, everybody asks me, where can I go? Where's a safe place to go? And I honestly don't even know what to say anymore. I just don't know.
Right.
Does anybody out there know
right.
where there's a safe? I don't know. So you got a book called At the Breaking Point of History, and you just said that, you know, that they were thinking that they cut you off on that. So tell
yeah.
me, I know that you can go after them and sue them. This is ridiculous. I also had some problems on posting some of your stuff on Facebook. They're not letting me face
really?
A lot of your articles on there as well.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're living in very strange times, and all I can do is encourage people to go to Activist Post. I write for Activist Post, so my articles will be appearing there. And so far, they still seem to be on Activist Post, so you can find them there. I've noticed on Facebook, when I post article links, whether they're my articles or somebody else's articles, I get almost no reaction. Now, if I post a picture of my cat or I post a picture of you know, my hot water heater, everybody goes, oh, wow, you got a hot water heater. But if I post an article link, it's like nobody sees it. So that's called shadow banning. So
shadow banning.
So I'm sorry that you're also having trouble with that. So we're just doing the
right.
best we can. You know, we're living
first
under a lot of oppression. Yeah, there's a lot of oppression,
right.
and people may not realize it. If they don't go to court and if they don't look for controversial information online, they may not be aware of how the worm has turned, so to speak. But things are getting, you know, more and more difficult. Information is being locked down. You know, what Chris Milligan is trying to do to my book is an excellent example of that. And we just simply have to stay centered and do the best we can.
Right.
Exactly.
And be assertive. You know, a lot of people, and I get it. I was that way, and I'm sure, you know, Marcy, Janet, and you, Luann, we were, but we have to be vocal, and we have to be assertive, because we are on the right side of the street, of the cause, you know, so to speak. But it's just so important, because it takes a lot of us. We can't do it by ourselves. You know, we are trying to, the group of us, but we can't. And I just, if it's okay, Luann, I want to tell you my cause for as long as it takes me to. Can you give me 2 minutes?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks. I was trying to get a trifecta for someone who's doing a piece on Rebecca Fairley. So it'd be Rebecca Fairley, Guardian first, then when she was forced to resign, Denise Willis, and then when Denise Willis was forced to resign, the last successor Guardian, Ms. Homer Hartage. So couldn't find anything in Seminole. Started looking in Orange County, only to come across a case that I had forgotten about. And it's a case with an older woman, no children. Her husband was deceased, worked her whole life, and amassed quite a bit of money. And she was leaving all of her money to, like, the Red Cross, different charities. And she was very close with this woman who's now 96. I spoke to her today, who runs this huge animal sanctuary for the, mm-hmm. for what is it, the unadoptable pets, you know, either on death row or they've got bad temperaments, this, that, and the other. So long story longer, Margie Creedler, her name is, she was put into guardianship by Rebecca Fairley for absolutely no reason, I believe, other than the money that she had. Her friends were shunned. They wrote letters to the judge. They were accused of stealing from Margie, and I hadn't looked at her case in like 3 months, only to find out today that she died in a fraudulent guardianship a few months ago. I happened to find the woman, Florence's number. Florence is 96 now and blind as a bat, crying, mm-hmm. and I said, were you left, you know, she had a will? She goes, I really don't know. She goes, totally, I don't care about the money, but I would love to have Margie's ashes. We have a little sanctuary here, a little area where I have my husband's ashes, animals that have died here, their ashes, and Margie Creedler always wanted her ashes to be here as well. I said, well, if I can do one thing, I am going to make sure that I get those ashes for you. Called the attorney, yeah. No response. Called the guardian, and the end of where I am tonight is that she said, well, there are a few cousins, which I don't believe, but I'm sure they don't want anything to do with that, meaning Margie's remains. But as soon as I said to the guardian, I asked her, is there a will? She goes, oh, I don't know, and if I knew, I wouldn't tell you. Goodbye. You know, they are such evil, evil people that even in death, and guardianship supposedly ends upon death, that me getting the cremains, which are probably in one of their offices, if not in the garbage, to give this good friend of Margie Creedler's, it will be an undertaking unto itself. So I just want to let people know that, you know, this is happening. This is happening. People do not believe it, but it is happening. And it's the gaslighting, making other people to look like they are guilty, only to make these attorneys and judges and guardians look like they are pristine, which they're anything but.
Yeah. Wow. Gosh, yeah, this is so dang evil, man. It's hard to even describe.
It is, but you don't
the magnitude.
It is all around. I'm sorry for cutting you off there.
Oh,
sorry?
No, it's fine. No, it's fine.
It's absolutely unbelievable how people are, and Ashley Moody, the big attorney general down here in Florida, all she talks about is human trafficking and this, that. This is human trafficking. In this letter to the judge, the friend Florence says that, you know, the only way we would be in contact with Margie is through her roommate's cell phone. I mean, there's yeah. no access to the outside world, and we will never stop fighting until the madness ends.
No, oh we're not. And you know what I do? I want to say something, and we mm-hmm. should do this recording even on the air. No judge or attorney has the right to appoint a guardian for me. Story.
Yeah. And a story.
Excuse family dysfunction. We have your number, and you're not allowed to do that to us.
Exactly.
That's it.
If only they would stick to that. Yeah. If only they would
we
do
have,
that.
Right. We're going to actually be taking some callers in from our listeners in. People are already starting to call into the phone lines here. The number you do that, and if you want to talk to Janet or if you have a question or you just want to talk to one of us, the phone number you call into, which is the same every week, is 845-241-9962. It's 845-241-9962, and you press a 1, and that will raise your hand to let us know that you have a question or a comment, and it's live on the air as well. And remember, all of our shows are recorded and archived, and you can go find them at Hidden Truth Revealed on Blog Talk Radio. There's like over 300 and some shows now that are on there. So you can listen to these stories. You can share them. You can, you know, if people don't believe you what's going on, send her 5 or 10 of them from our show. They'll soon get it. Okay, so Janet, with your permission, we're going to go ahead and start bringing in some callers, okay? Let's bring in...
Okay, I'm probably going to have to go pretty soon, but let's take a few callers, okay?
Okay.
Well, thank
okay,
you.
270, do you have a question or a comment?
Oh, I've got some comments. How is everybody?
Okay. Hi.
Good, good.
How you doing?
Hi. I'm all right. Just listening to Luann, and you said to try to find, like, a catchphrase for what we are dealing with, and I don't know if I'm using my big words right, but it's not, to me, it's categorical fraudulent corruption. And mm-hmm. I don't know if the fraudulent cancels out the corruption, but that sounds right to me as far as what the probate courts do. And as far as the judges, like how we're talking about, you know, the judges, it's not, you know, we can't go after the guardian, or we haven't been able to go after the guardians, but the judges are like hiding their, getting their money in a laundering way. I think they can do that through fake LLCs. They can do it through family members, like in a contest or something. You know, they say you can't have family members or friends enter the contest. And I mm-hmm. think that in a way, shape or form that there should be, if not transparency, very easy access to anybody who is in a judge's family or circle,
right.
where that information, because, I mean, be somebody where they're like, hey, I know you're just the daughter-in-law, but you're going to need to pay out this loan or take out a loan, and somebody else is going to pay it, and you're never going to talk about it. Or you'll be a smear
right.
on the concrete, okay? You know, that kind of thing. Also, guardians, it's funny because, you know, every now and then it's like they throw us a bone, like April. The guardian here, what was her name, April, in Colorado? She got
right.
in trouble. Is that, okay. So every now and then they throw us a bone. And I think that guardians, if they're any listening, need to be aware that they could be made the fall boy, that everything could be turned around and made it look like they're doing everything bad. And I'm sure they're no, you know, we know they're no angels, but they probably mm-hmm. think they're going to get away with this. But if push comes to shove, they're going to give us a little, like I said, they're going to throw us a bone. So guardians need
right.
to know this could all turn on them. And as far as getting it out to the public, how can we do it? Maybe we could put it on an anonymous billboard or an anonymous web forum thing. You know, just put the judges in for blast their information. And then I wonder if banks has, I mean, they don't scratch their head and say, well, where'd you get this money, Your Honor? You know, they just take
the
it.
Banks,
okay.
Yeah. Is that another way that you could do that, Janet, is by talking to them? They don't give you any information, though, do they?
They don't give you any information, no. Uh-uh.
Oh, yeah, but I think that there should be something that says, you know, just like if a bank can say, well, this older gentleman is buying everybody Corvettes for, you know, whatever, and they report that, then they should be able to say, hey, this judge has had his mortgage paid off 4 times in the last 12 years. Isn't that weird? You know, there should be some red flag, something where they have to report that. That's not normal or right. And I think the fake LLC is a big one. I think that they're able to use that in the states that hide LLCs. They don't report, people can go to certain states and start an LLC and nobody can find them. Nobody.
Right.
Sorry, go ahead.
They have some LLCs in Delaware, I heard, that they can go ahead and get. Is that right, Janet, that I've heard that
I think Delaware has less than adequate transparency, is my understanding. Yeah.
Yeah, they have less
and
transparency.
Then,
mm-hmm.
As far as the speaker goes and your book and what's being done with your book, what comes to mind if people, I mean, it's like, let's party like it's 1984. They're going to pulp your book.
Yeah, they're going to pulp my book. Right.
Absolutely asinine. How dare they?
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we know. I just put it on blast on my Facebook, what was said, and tried to.
I know I've got
a lot
of people blasting it out on their sites. I know I've just been notified by about 5 different people that they blasted out on Facebook of what's going on. So that's good, you know. And I think it's just awful what they're doing to you, Jen. You're such an excellent, you know, an investigative journalist. But that's what you're supposed to do, though. You're an investigative reporter. It's like all these other reporters on TV. You know, it's just crazy how they target certain people. You know.
And how do you think this goes?
Color.
You know,
I'm not sure what.
Oh,
yeah,
go ahead, Luanne. I'm rambling.
Well,
you know me.
I had a couple other callers that called in, but somehow it just vanished. So if you want to call back in, it's 845-241-9962. You press A1, and they'll let me know that you have a question or a comment. But I had like 2 or 3 numbers just stayed off of here. I don't know what's going on with this show tonight, but call back into the show and press A1. So here's an 845 number. You have a question, comment? You want to talk to Janet? Go ahead. You're live on the air. 845 number. Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I have a question about the Hansi, Stuart Hansi, and Roger Hilligus case with respect to the prosecutor. I mean, he holds all the power to either drop the case or pursue the case. Can the prosecutor, or is anybody, is Janet investigating the prosecutor's financials? Does the prosecutor have to?
Oh, that is such a good idea. That is such a good idea. Thank you. Why would he pursue this case?
There's got to be an incentive for him to do it, unless it's just, you know, loyalty to the brethren.
Yeah, I was going to ask that, too. You know, like, there's other people that are always involved. Maybe you want to just not only investigate the judges, but some of the guardians and some of the prosecutors and everybody in there just to see if who's all in cahoots, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Well, generally speaking, the loan scam seems to be something that is being used to pay off faithful and obedient public servants. So that would, of course, include prosecutors. So
prosecutors,
thank
yes.
you. Thank you for that suggestion.
Right.
Yeah.
The other thing
that's
I
excellent.
Wanted to know was, Janet, have you, because I seem to recall, and it was shortly after the American Bar Association president, I remember she was a Hispanic woman, if I remember correctly, she was quite upset about the criticisms from the general public throughout the United States of the judges. And corruption and all of that. And, you know, we needed to stop doing that was what she was saying. And, you know, a lot of us said what needs to stop is the persecution of American citizens via the legal system. But, and then shortly after that, when I don't know if it was you, Janet, or someone else came up with, and I think it was you, about the research into the financial statements, public records of the judges, there seemed to have been some pushback. I remember reading about that the judges were taking a stance that they wanted the record sealed with respect to their public, with respect to their finances, their financials.
Really?
Do you know anything
really
about that?
I don't remember that. What I do know is that most state legislatures seem to have passed laws that make it acceptable for judges not to list their personal mortgages on their yearly financial disclosures. So that gives them an extra level of protection because they don't have to report these. And
maybe that's what it was. I don't remember exactly, but I was just wondering if
okay.
there was any further news about that. And then one last thing. I got a little bit confused, and I got cut off a couple of times. Not altogether, but it just went dead for some reason. With
yeah,
respect
I
know. To exposing them, I mean, we need to do the financials and then connect the dots. Like, how does that relate to our cases? Because certainly the financials is one avenue, very important, critical, and really, as you said, very effective. But we need to say, well, there were other irrefutable things within each of our cases. You know, the variables are all a little bit different, and yet the tactics and the gaslighting and the lies and the ruses, they're pretty much the same. So we have to connect the dots with the financials, but what I got confused about or didn't hear was how do we expose them to whom? Because if we can't expose anything else, how do we expose the financials? It seemed to me that you were indicating go directly to the judge involved.
Or to the presiding
judge. Yeah.
Or to the presiding judge. Yeah. And ask some questions. And
so
see what kind of response.
Like a certified letter.
Certified letter, email, however you want to do it. Yep.
And would you copy the administrative judge that oversees the court, that particular county court, state court or federal court, whatever it is? There's usually an administrative judge.
Asking the questions of the presiding judge. Is that who you mean by the administrative judge?
We want more results. Like, what will happen? Will they resign? Will they somehow renege on all of their orders and, you know, backpedal and fix our cases? I mean,
I've seen all those things happen. I've seen judges. Actually, I chased one judge off the bench in San Bernardino County. I've seen them resign the cases. I've seen them start making reputable decisions. I've seen them pull back arrest orders. All kinds of things.
But that would
That's
be
good,
the, first, the first move would be to directly contact the judge, even though, in some cases, you're not allowed
judge.
To have ex parte communications.
Or the presiding judge. The presiding judge.
Right.
Okay.
So right. I have a question that came in from someone on Facebook, and they want me to ask you. So what happens if they're saying that since you're an investigative reporter and you report these to the judges, what happens if they report this to a judge and the judge thinks that they're harassing them?
Because you're not supposed to have ex parte communications with the judge.
Yeah.
That's, I've already said contact the presiding judge, okay?
Right.
That's how you get around that.
Okay, presiding judge.
Now,
did you hear that?
Presiding judge. The presiding judge of the case?
Of the court.
Okay, that's the administrative judge then. Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah, the administrative judge.
Presiding judge presides over each of the cases.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, good.
Bye-bye.
Okay, no, that's good. That's good that we cleared that up. I'm glad. Because that does make sense, you know, when you we always have to go to a senior judge or something like that when you find out certain things. So, Janet, you're going to have your webinar next week, and if anybody mm-hmm. wants to participate, they can contact you at say your email one more time and how they can get a hold of you.
Right. You can get a hold of me via Facebook, or you can email me at janet_c_phelan@yahoo.com. I'm going to have to go now. I'm sorry, Luann.
Okay.
My friend's computer. Getting kind of late here, so I'm going to have to go.
Okay, go ahead. And thanks for coming on to the show, and I will talk to, if anybody gets, they need to contact you and they can't, they can always get a hold of me here at faceusradio@hotmail.com, okay? And I will let you know. Okay, thanks for coming
on,
Janet.
Thank you very much, and thanks very much for having me, Luann. Good night.
Thank you, as usual. You know, and like I say, Janet is just phenomenal of what she does. And we're always grateful when she does come on to our show because she's just so fascinating on some of the things that she finds out. And she's a fantastic investigative journalist. It's a shame that they're taking her books down. And it's the same thing with, you know, I've been listening to this whole epidemic and the pandemic, and they're doing the same thing with Dr. McCullough and all these other really big doctors out there, you know. And it's the whole thing with our health system and the judicial system, it just seems like everything is just coming down to historical times of fraudulent activity. That's all I can think of. If you could say it all in one word, Hillary, what would you say in a whole, you know, we're trying to create a book title and we're trying to captivate what's going on in the courts. What would you say it is?
I don't know if I could, five, six words.
I've come up with 150 different names, and I'm like, God, does this explain it?
But I think, you know, one word, two words would be maybe catchier than five words, you know.
Yeah.
Kidnapped. There's just so many. Human trafficking of the elderly. I don't know. I'm just still. I mean, every day I wake up and I can't believe that this stuff is happening. Like 4 years down the line, and I'm still like, I can't freaking believe that this is happening. But I mean, thank goodness there are more publications coming out, and We just have to keep going for people that have died in guardianships, corrupt people that are living in them, people that are trying to get out of them, which is almost impossible, and also to stop people from being put into guardianships. So we will keep fighting. If we have time. Can I quickly read this letter from a friend of Ms. Kriegler's that was filed?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
And the judge said,
the judge that she's writing this letter to was Jose Rodriguez, who was a member of the Guardianship Improvement Task Force, which isn't too impressive considering that he did nothing to help Mrs. Kriegler. Dear Judge Rodriguez, my name is Florence Stout. I'm 89 years old and have known Margie Kriegler for over 10 years since she contacted the sanctuary, which I founded with my late husband in 1974. She and I became personal friends through our shared interest in animal welfare. Through the years, accompanied by friends and employees, I visited Margie in Orlando frequently. We took her on needed errands and assisted her generally. She was a gracious hostess, inviting us for lunch at her home. Throughout this time, Margie generously made donations to the sanctuary, though was never one of our biggest donors. From 2010 to 2014, she donated $1,000, $2,500, $300, sometimes $500. When Margie fell and broke her hip, we were in constant contact with her, and at her request, we took in two of her cats to care for them. In discussion with me, Margie agreed that she would come temporarily for a rehab in DeLand. When I accompanied her for admission at Ridgecrest and mentioned that it might be longer, the Ridgecrest representative said, "Can she afford to stay here?" And I said, "Yes, money is not an issue." Margie asked us to find $40,000 cash that she had hidden in her home. We did this for her and immediately took it to the facility where they put it in the safe. Initially, we were cordially invited by Ridgecrest to bring our animals and visit Margie daily. Although she was not allowed out of the facility, even though the original 11 days turned into an indefinite time period. One second. At one point, Margie requested that we find her a lawyer. We had a mom-and-pop lawyer who we took to visit her. Unfortunately, he was strictly hometown and didn't do anything in Orlando, so we declined his offer to be her lawyer. It seemed his visit caused consternation at Ridgecrest, seeing now that they had applied for a guardian, and all of our visitation was suffered. We continued to go and check on Margie's home, retrieve her mail, and feed her remaining house cat. One day when we were delivering her mail to her, we were met at the door of Ridgecrest and told nobody from Journey's End, our animal sanctuary, was allowed to visit her. Her mail was taken from us but never delivered, and that's where our visits ended. We were devastated. Margie had stated that almost daily when taken to the rehab, she just sat in a chair. She stated to us that they were over-drugging her and putting multiple pills throughout the day in her chocolate pudding. They were forging documents and making her sign things that she didn't want to. Paperwork was missing. A diamond necklace that I gave my friend for her birthday was gone, and no one seemed care. This is the last page. Through phone contact with Margie, I learned that at least three times people were in the room asking her to sign paperwork. Her roommate was heard yelling, "Don't sign anything, Margie." When her appointed lawyer visited, he questioned who I was, and Margie said, "She's been a good friend to me over the years. She helps me with my animals." He said to her, "She's trying to steal your money." And Margie's roommates could overhear this as well. This was exceptionally harmful accusation, having devoted my life to help both animals and people. My late husband and I were known as the runaway house for teenagers looking for help, juveniles and adults who served the community who needed help. People were living on the streets physically but came to live with us until they could get their feet on the ground. One disabled veteran who was abused would come and live with us for years until his demise. A wheelchair-bound woman would come and live, the last thing that I would think of doing was to steal from someone else, need not my friend. Margie is my longtime friend, and I'm very concerned for her welfare. We have only been in contact with Margie through her roommate's cell phone. Margie is devastated and feels helpless, as do her friends. We are gravely concerned that, contrary to Margie being exploited by her friends, she is being exploited by a corporate entity and the court system. I've enclosed a tape of my old friend Margie begging for her freedom. And as long as I have known Margie, she's been a loner, only a handful of friends, and I am one of them. I hope to be present at her next court hearing to meet and talk to you personally and to advocate for my friend Margie. Margie's goal, as discussed with us, was to return home with help, which she can well afford. The goal is stated on the enclosed tape. Thank you for considering these concerns. Yours truly, Florence Tout, founder of Journeys and Animal Sanctuary. And Margie is deceased, and she died alone. It was a little bit longer than I thought, but she died a ward of the state who did not have to be. And it's just
horrific. All these stories, factual stories, they're all have so much in common. It's like
so
a cookie cutter crime. It's horrible.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, they just hard-headedly, they just do this and they don't really care. All they want is the money.
That's
horrible. Even my mother in her deathbed in the hospital kept saying, they made me sign a paper. Tell them to bring you the paper. They made me sign a paper. I want you to take care of me. I don't want you to leave. She told every one of those different nurses every day. And then when we were getting so close, the freaking judge puts in the supervision.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I have no words.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to carry that anger in my heart anymore.
I really don't.
I pray to God every day.
Yeah, I would have nothing to do either.
Than watching your loved one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I say one thing talking about mothers,
sure.
Marcy? I was lucky enough to get an invite. I was a little late for Robin's mother's service this past Saturday on Zoom. And as I said, I got there late, but you'll tell Robin Luann, every time that I hear the song by the Beach Boys, God only knows what I'd be without you, I will be thinking of Robin's mother and my mother and your mother and Marcy's mother.
Yeah.
And it was great, but I mean, when they started singing that song, I wanted to cry because it's just, you know, we are nothing without our parents, especially for me, and I think for the two of you, our mother. Never a day goes by that we don't think about our mothers.
Yeah.
And for you and Marcy, with the guardianship, you know, took time away from your time with your mothers, and it should have never been that way.
Yeah. Yeah, and I want to put a shout out there that might that I want to put a shout out there. Right.
Damages.
I also want to put a shout out there that God Almighty. I wanted to talk a little bit about my sister. She is not doing very well at all. She has got everything wrong with her brain. We're not sure what's going on, but she's not there anymore. They put her in the hospital. They have been giving her shock treatments, trying to get her brain back. So I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I do feel that I will be losing my oldest sister. I don't know if I can talk about that. But I've been in touch with family, and I'm not sure. I'm going to go try to visit her tomorrow if they let me in there. She's not under guardianship. In fact, my brother-in-law somehow got guardianship of her. I'm not even sure. He didn't even go to court, and I'm still kind of puzzled about that one. So I'm still got to talk to him about it, but he knows all about the probate court fraud, so he's been really on top of it. But, yeah, my sister Carol, she's not doing well. I'll keep everybody up to date on that one. I have to go see her tomorrow. But, like I say, life is really short. You know, it's incredibly sad what is going on with the elders and our disabled and our veterans. And to almost anybody nowadays, anybody could be thrown into a guardianship. And my heart really goes out to Stuart Handy and Roger Hilligus, man. My heart breaks over that. And Robin's mother, it's been a hard time also with Zena Crenshaw. I mean, there's been so much happening lately that my heart has just been so heavy, you know. But I pray that something gets done with this guardianship abuse, what's going on. And so if anybody can help me come up with a book title, I'm in the process of getting a book done with Robin and also with my son-in-law and my family here. We're getting a book together. Mm-hmm. I just want a really good title, and I thought of 1,000 titles, and I just cannot. What is going on is horrific, you know. So help me figure one out. We're going to go ahead and close the radio show for tonight. I'm not sure who we're having on next week. I guess we will find out. I am trying to get on some families, trying to find out where's Poochie. So I'm trying to get that on as well. So, Hillary, you have anything you want to say before we close up the show tonight?
Just a great show, and thank you so much for hosting it week after week. And we will talk everyone next Wednesday, and we are with you, and we can commiserate what you're going through. And we will do anything that we can to stop the madness in probate courts throughout our country.
Marcy,
I lost one of my good friends. Her name was Kim, and my friend Chris Anthony, her husband, and she had fallen and she got an aneurysm. And then she had been incapacitated, and that he lost her, but they wouldn't let him have guardianship of her, and they took away all the money and everything. And this just happened in Florida. So she was a lovely, lovely woman, Kim, and so I want to say a prayer for her and my good friend Anthony, Chris Anthony.
Oh, good, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Anybody wants to see that memorial service of Robin's of mother and stuff, we do have a Zoom on that. I actually listened to it all in full, and their family is a very acting family. They're theatrical, and they did a wonderful job on this whole mother's case, you know, where she passed away. And I tell you what, I grew up with that family since second grade with Robin Austin. So that family was really close to me. His mother was very dear to me. So that's Roberta Austin, everybody. So we are going to say goodnight. Remember, justice requires transparency and accountability. And giving up is not an option. And we will find out who comes on our radio show next week. So we will all talk to you then. And thank you so much for all our listeners. Remember, you can find us on Facebook. My name is Luann Fleming. You can find me on Facebook, Hillary Hoag, Marcy Friedman, Robin Austin. You're listening to Hidden Truth Revealed on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, all of our shows are recorded and archived, and the show can be found at the link anytime. And if anyone misses the show, they can view it at their own leisure. So make sure people know that the link is good even after the show is ended and as a post-recorded option. So you can find me at FaceUs Radio, FaceUs Radio, at hotmail.com. Send me your story. If you want to come on to our radio show, let me know. We can get you booked. We are taking families starting in November already. So let me know if you want to come on to our show and expose what's going on with your family and what's going on through the court system in your area. Anyway, we are going to say goodnight now. Hillary and Marcy, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Lulu. God bless everyone. And prayers for may God protect us, protect everyone.
In the name of the Virgin Mary, Mother of God.
In memory of my mother, Mary and Jane Loving, as well as I sit here and look at her picture.
That's right. And
but,
we'll be praying for your sister, Luann.
Yeah, my
God
sister,
bless. And I love the two of you. I don't know how I would have ever gone through without you guys, honestly.
Me too.
You're family to me.
I know. We got a whole nation out there, don't we? Good night, you guys.
Yeah.
We love you.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Did you know that elders and others are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person deemed incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit stopguardianabuse.org.